Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebad in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebad, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen.
Daf Kof Yod Tet. Today's daf has been sponsored by Dr. Isaac Meddeb and his wife Lily in memory of Moshe ben Rachel Mann. Ruach Hashem, Tanichenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Le'ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, Tanichem began Eden. Amen. We begin on Daf Kuf Yud Chet, and we are 7 lines from the bottom, and we begin with the third word on the line, Ve'od. And the Gemara begins. Ve'od shalach lo. Rabbi Ishmael sent to Rabbi. Shelosh me'ot v'shishim v'hamisha. Meaning he sent him the following chidush. Let's just review what we were discussing. Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Yosef was sick. Rabbi sent message to him that if he could relate to him some of the teachings that Rabbi Ishmael learned from his father, Rabbi Yosef. So he said, Ve'od shalach lo, he sent to Rabbi the following chadush. Shelosh mo'ot v'shishim v'chamisha shevakim b'chirach gadol shel Romi. That there are 365 marketplaces in the city of Rome. V'chol echad v'echad ayu bo shelosh mo'ot v'shishim v'chamisha biraniyot. And each one contains 365 towers in it. V'chol biraniyot u'biranit hayu bo shelosh mo'ot v'shishim v'chamisha ma'alot. And in each one of those towers, there's 365 steps. V'chol ma'ala u'ma'ala hayu bo kedel lazun et kol ha'olam kulo. And on each and every step, it had enough food in order to sustain the entire world. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi l'Rabbi ve'amri la Rabbi Ishmael b'Rabbi Yosef l'Rabbi Hane leman. Who's this food for? I mean, who's going to eat all this food? So the Gemara said, Lach ul'havrach ul'havrutach. So Rabbi answered, it's going to be for you, for your colleagues, and for the colleagues of your colleagues, meaning for all those that study Torah, one day all that beracha, all that sustenance, and all that food is going to go to the Talmidei Chachamim Shene'emar, Sahra ve'etinana kodesh la'Hashem, lo ye'atzer ve'lo ye'asen, ki la'yoshbim lifnei Hashem yiyeh. Sahra means her merchandise. V'etdana and her wage will one day become holy to Hashem. It shall not be stored nor treasured, but it shall be for those who sit before Hashem. So the Gemara says, "May lo yatzer." What does it mean? It's not going to be stored. Tane Rav Yosef, lo yatzer. It will not be stored. Ze betotzar. This is referring to normal, let's say, wheat and grains that are normally stored in the granary, such as, let's say, grain, wine, oil, etc. It's not going to be stored. Ve'lo yahasin. Nor are they going to put it in a treasury. Zeh bet giniza. This refers to things that usually put in a treasury, like gold and silver. And the pasuk is coming to say that these items are no longer going to be stored in storehouses or treasuries. In the time of the Mashiach, it's going to be distributed. But the question is, distributed to who? So it says, to those that are sitting in front of Hashem. So the Gemara says, Mai ki la yoshvim lifnei Hashem. What does it mean when it says it's going to be distributed to those that are sitting in front of Hashem? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ze hamakir mekom havero mishiva. It literally means this is a person that knows where his friend sits in the yeshiva. What does that mean? He knows where his friend sits. So look at the Rashbam, the first one. Sheyodeya lomar ze makom peloni veze makom peloni. He knows exactly the seating arrangement of the yeshiva. Here's where so and so sits, and here's where so and so sits. Deo'ilu makir makom havero ragilu leshef tavicha. Since he's so fluent with the seating arrangement, must be that he himself frequents the Bet Midrash. And therefore, what it's saying is that the one that frequents the Bet Midrash is going to enjoy all that grains and all those gold and silver and all those commodities. Ika de Amre, some say, Amar Abil Hazar, Zea Mekabel Pene Havero Baishiva. This is referring to the one who greets his colleague in the academy. What does it mean, he greets his colleague in the academy? Which means he's always the first one there. So when the students arrive, he can greet them. So such a man is sitting lifnei Hashem. Therefore he's going to enjoy all this beracha. Now, the end of that pasuk says, Limchase atik, which literally is the one that covers the old things. So the Gemara wants to know, what is this referring to? Mai limchase atik. What does it mean? And for those who cover the ancient. Ze hamchase devarim shekisa atik yomin. This is referring to the one that conceals the things that Borei Olam, which is called the ancient one, concealed. He keeps the concealed things concealed. What are these concealed things? Umayminu, Setre Torah. This is referring to the secrets of the Torah, specifically things of the nature of Kabbalah, or for example, Maase Merkava, the chariot of fire that's discussed in the first chapter of Yehezkel. These things are very esoteric and very difficult to understand. And therefore, somebody that knows it, but he does not reveal it, he is considered worthy of all the blessings. The Rashbam says, Setre Torah, Ma'aseh Merkaba, U'ma'aseh Bereshit, U'pirusho Shilshem, or the different interpretations of the names of God. Kedekhtiv, Zeh Shemi Le'olam, meaning he doesn't transmit this information to any person, only to somebody that his heart is let's say worthy, meaning he attained certain levels of wisdom and tzidkut. So this fellow over here is the one that keeps the secrets of the Torah secretive, meaning he does not give it over to people that are unworthy. Another interpretation, Vika de Amri, the Gemara says, Ze hamgale devarim shekisa atikumin. It's the opposite. He reveals things that the Ancient of Days, which is God, concealed. What is this? Ta'ame Torah. What is Ta'ame Torah? This is referring to, let's say, the reasons of the law. That would be, for example, the Talmud, and things like that, that explain the logic of the Torah. So on this version, it's saying on the contrary, this fellow reveals things that were originally concealed. And that person will be Zocher to all the Berachot. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rav Kahana Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosef. My dichtiv. What does it mean when it says in the pasuk Teilim, Lam Nasayah Mizmor Le David? Which the word Lam Nasayah is understood is the one that gives power to somebody else to beat him. which means he's not the winner. That would be a notzayah. Lam nasayah is, again, the one that empowers somebody else to beat him. So the Gemara says, Lam nasayah mizmon David, zammeru lemi shenotzchim oto besameyah, which means, do you sing? What kind of song is that? If somebody gives others the ability to conquer him, Lam nasayah, is that something to sing about? So the Gemara says, Bo'ureh, shelo kemidat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar v'adam. The way of God is not the way of man of flesh and blood. Basar v'adam minatzkein oto v'asev. Normally a person, if somebody conquers him, obviously he's upset. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu notzkein oto, they beat him, and v'sameya, he's happy. How do you know that? Shne'emar, v'yomer l'ashmidam lule Moshe b'chino amad b'peretz lefanav. Borei Olam vowed to destroy Klal Yisrael after they worshipped the Egel, and it was not for Moshe, his chosen one, who prayed in front of God and closed the breach. What do you see from over here? Borei Olam wanted one thing, and Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, was victorious to change God's mind. So, for example, so to speak, Moshe conquered God. Of course, we say that in a euphemism, but the point is, God was happy. How do we know? Because the pasuk says, "Lule Moshe bechiro." Moshe is chosen one. That shows us that he was very fond of Moshe by calling him his chosen one, even though he technically beat the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hence, lam nasayah mizmor, a song to the one that allows himself to be beaten. Amar Rav Kahana Mishum Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yoseh. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Nakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesi'ah. Mai Dichtiv. What does it mean when it says in the Pasuk, Vide Adam Mitahat Kanfehem? Again, this is a Pasuk in Yechezkel by the chapter of the Merkabah. So it says that there were human hands under the wings of the angels. So the Gemara says, Yado Ketiv, that if we look at the Masoret, the way the word Vide, although it's read Vide, but it is spelled Yado, which literally means his hand. So the Gemara says, Ze Yado Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's actually a reference to the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a reference really to the right hand, which really means this is a reference to the Midat HaRachamim, the attribute of mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know the right hand of God symbolizes mercy. Shepirusa tachat kanfei hayot, which he spreads under the wings of the hayot. Hayot are certain angels. Kedei lekabel ba'alei teshuva miyad midat hadin, in order to receive and protect those people that make teshuvah from the strict judgment, which means, since the Midat HaDin would say that anybody that sins against God should never be received by God, so Borei Olam spreads out his Midat HaRachamim in order to bring them back to the Kisei HaKavod, which means the pasuk is trying to show that Borei Olam goes out of his way in order to bring back the Baal Teshuvah. Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kol kesef v'zahav sheba'olam, all the money in the world, Yosef l'kito v'bi'o l'Misrayim. Yosef as-Sadiq gathered it and brought it to Misrayim. Shene emar, v'ilaket Yosef et kol ha-kesef ha-nimsa. Yosef gathered all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and as well as the land of Canaan. So the Gemara says, in the Ela sheba'eres Misrayim sheba'eres Canaan. I only know that he gathered all the money during the years of the famine from the land of Mitzrayim and the land of Canaan. Bishara arasot minayin. How do I know that he also gathered money from other lands? Talmud lomar vechol ha'ares ba'u Mitzrayimah, which means vechol ha'ares, and all of the land came down to Mitzrayim, and therefore must be besides Egypt and besides Canaan. So therefore must be the other countries of the world came down to Egypt and gave Yosef their money. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ushalu Yisem Mitzrayim. And when the Jewish people came out of Egypt, he'eluhu emahin. All that money, all those riches, the Jewish people took out with them. Shnei Emar, v'inaselu et Mitzrayim, which literally means they emptied out Egypt. Rav Aseh Amar, asa'uha kimtsuda zu she'en ba dagan. They made Egypt like a animal trap that has no grain. In the olden days, they would take a trap and put grain in it in order to entrap the animal. So Egypt became like a trap without any grain, meaning it was totally emptied out. Gemara continues a different derasha. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar, kimsula she'en ba dagim. Meaning when the pasuk says, v'inatzelu, so he's learning it from like the word mitzula. Mitzula is the depths of the ocean. So they made Egypt like the depths of the ocean that have no fish. The fish usually swim on the top of the waters where they can access themselves to some food. However, the bottom of the ocean is empty from fish. And therefore the Torah is telling us, according to this Derash, two things. That we emptied out Egypt like a trap that has no bread, or like the ocean, the bottom of the ocean, that has no fish. So the Bnei Shechai explains, we're saying two things over here. We cleaned them out on a physical level, which means there was no more monetary assets left in Egypt. We took everything out. That's like a trap that has no bread. But we also cleaned out Egypt spiritually. Any vestige of Kedusha that was in Egypt, for example, the different Nitzotzot Kedusha, the Jewish people took those Kedusha out and left Mitzrayim spiritually bankrupt. And that is a reference to the second derash, Kimsula She'en Ba Dagim, like a bottom of the ocean that has no fish. Comes the Gemara and says, what happened with all that money? V'ya munach ad rehavam. That money was in Jewish possession until the son of Shlomo HaMelech, Rehavam. Bashishak Melech Mitzrayim untalo Rehavam. Shishak, the king of Egypt, then came and took it from Rehavam. Shnei Emar, v'hi b'shana hamishit l'melech Rehavam, ala Shishak Melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim. So Shishak came and ascended against Jerusalem. Vayikach et otzrot bet Hashem v'et otzrot bet HaMelech. And he took all the treasures of the king and of the palace. Ba'zerach Melech Kush untalo meshishak. Subsequently, Zerach, the king of Kush, seized the wealth from Shishak. The Rashbam says that there must have been a tradition to this, because it's really not written anywhere in the Navi about Zerach Melech Kush coming and taking it from Mitzrayim. In any event, the Gemara continues, Ba Asa, then came Asa, the king of Yehuda, untalo mezerach Melech Kush. And he seized it from Zerah, v'shigero l'Hadrimon ben Tabrimon. But he sent it as a bribe to Hadrimon ben Tabrimon. When Baasha, the king of Israel, was preparing to fight Asa, so Asa sent all this money to Ben Hadad, which the Gemara calls him Hadrimon ben Tabrimon, in order to induce him to wage war against Baasha. Ba'u b'nei Amon untalu me'adrimon ben Tabrimon. So then the Amonim came and they took it from Adrimon ben Tabrimon. Ba Yehoshaphat untalo b'nei Amon. Then Yehoshaphat, the king, came and took it from the Amonim. There was a war that we learn in Sefer Melachim Bet that Yehoshaphat and the Amonim had, and the Amonim, when they went out to war, they brought out all their treasures in order to give an incentive to the soldiers to fight. And this is what we're fighting for, to maintain all these treasures. So when Yehoshaphat defeated the Ammonim, we would assume that he plundered all the treasures as well. Vayamunach ad Ahaz. That money stayed by the Jewish people until Ahaz. Basan Hariv, unta lo me'ahaz. Came Sanhariv and he seized it from Ahaz. Bahizkiyah, unta lo me'sanhariv. But Hizkiyah Melech then subsequently came and took the money back from Sanhariv. That was on that night when Sanhariv surrounded Yerushalayim. And miraculously all his soldiers died on that night. So Hizkiyah was able to repossess all that money. And all that money remained until King Sidkiyahu. Ba'u kasdiyim untalum et Sidkiyahu. So the kasdiyim came and they took the money from Sidkiyahu Melech. That was when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Ba'u parsiyim untaluhu mekasdiyim. The Persians came and fought the kasdiyim and they seized the money. Furthermore, ba'u yevanim untalu meparsiim. Then the Greeks came and they took it from the Parsiim. That was actually Alexander the Great. Ba'u romiim untalu miyad yevanim. And the Romans came and they took it from the Greeks. Ve'adayin munach beromi. And all that money that was originally taken with us out of Egypt, that money that Yosef had collected from the entire world, where is it today? The Gemara says, "Adayin munach beromi." It still remains in Rome. Comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Rabbi Hama bar Hanina, shalosh matmoniyot etmin Yosef b'Misrayim. Yosef concealed three treasures in Misrayim. Ahat netgala leKorach. One of those treasures was revealed to Korach." Ve'achat nitgala le'Antoninus ben Asverus. And one of them was revealed to Antoninus. This was the Roman Emperor Antoninus, who became the friend of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Ve'achat genuza le'tzadikim na'atid abo. And one is hidden away for the tzadikim that are going to claim it in the future. So Gemara says, on a pasuk, Shlomo HaMelech says, again, this pasuk would be in Kohelet. Osher shamur leba'alav lera'ato. Shlomo HaMelech said, sometimes a person might have riches, but those riches are really for his misfortune, which means it's not a beracha. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, zeh oshro shel Korach. This is referring to the riches of Korach, which means Korach's great riches caused them to become arrogant, and therefore he even waged the war against Moshe and Aharon, and this led to the rebellion, and this led to Korach being swallowed underground, and therefore the money was his downfall. So that's osher shamur lebaalav lera'ato, and the pasuk says ve'et kol haikum asher beraglehem. It says that the ground opened up, swallowed Korach, Datan ve'Aviram, etc., and all the yikum, it swallowed up all their wealth. Wealth is referred to yikum. Question is why? Amar bin Azar, ze mamono shel Adam. Yikum represents the wealth of a person. Why? Shema amido al raglav. It causes him to stand on his feet, which means lakum, like yekum. It causes him to stand on his own. Amar Rabbi Levi, masui shelosh meot peradot levanot ayu maftechot bet genazav shel Korach. Just the keys to Korach's treasure houses alone were equivalent to the load that 300 white mules would be able to carry. Vechulehu aklide uklipe digilda. All those keys and locks were made of leather, which means they were very light keys, and still they were able to amass that you needed 300 mules in order to carry. That's only the keys to the treasure. Now, of course, the Mefashim explained that this is an exaggeration. Usually when the Gemara says the number 300, it's just said to show an exaggerated number. And the Hachamim explained, why did the Gemara choose white mules? Because white mules, if somebody comes near them, they kick in order to protect themselves. And therefore, it was trying to say that he chose white mules in order that his keys would be protected. Comes the Gemara now and is Doresh some of the Pesukim in the Halel. Now, in order to understand these Pesukim, let's just review a story in the Navi. Borei Olam told the prophet Shemuel to go to the house of Yishai and appoint a king. He did not tell Shemuel and Navi which one of the sons of Yishai was worthy to become the king. That was something Shemuel had to figure out on his own. And while Shemuel got to Yishai's house, the last candidate that they all figured that would become the king was David. He was the most unassuming of the candidates. And therefore, when David HaMelech was finally chosen to become the king of Israel, it was a big shock to all. And therefore, they reacted. And the Gemara says now their reaction. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Odecha ki anitani. And that pasuk that we say at the end of the Hallel, thank you God for answering me. Amar David, that David HaMelech said, because David again was the youngest of the sons of Yishai, it appeared that he was the least qualified, and still he was chosen. So once he was chosen, he said, Odecha ki anitani, thank you God for answering me. And of course, and I had salvation, but the Eli Lishua. Even ma'asu abonim hayeta l'rosh pinna, Amar Yishai. The stone the builders despised has now become the cornerstone, which means the youngest of the sons now has become the most coveted. He has reached the highest level. Me'et Hashem haitazot, this must be from God, Amru Ehav. That's what the brothers of David said. Because it says, Me'et Hashem haitazot hineflat be'ainenu. That's plural. That's wondrous in our eyes. Zehayom asa Hashem amar Shemuel. This is the day that God has sanctified, that God has made. We will rejoice and be happy. Nagila b'nispechabo. Shemuel was very, very happy because when he appointed David, he saw in the future that David is going to be responsible for destroying many of the enemies of Israel. Anna Hashem Moshi'anna. Please God, save us now. Amru Ehav. That David HaMelech brothers said, please save us through David. Then David said, Ana Hashem Aslihana. Please God, bring us success now. Amar David. Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem. Amar Yishai. Blessed be the one that comes in the name of Hashem. That was Yishai said. Meaning, when Yishai greeted Shemuel, when he arrived to his house, in order to appoint the king, so he told him, Baruch Abba V'Shem Hashem, welcome. Berachnuchem V'Bet Hashem. Amar Shemuel, which literally means, we bless you from the house of Hashem. That was said by Shemuel, which means, he blessed them all in the beginning. Berachnuchem. He did not know exactly which son yet was worthy of being the king. So they were all blessed. El Hashem V'Ya'elanu. That God, Hashem, is the one that illuminates us. Amru Kulam. They all said that. That was after Shemuel was able to choose the king. Obviously that came because he was enlightened from Hashem. So they all said that. Thank you, Hashem, for enlightening Shemuel. Esruhag ba'avotim, Amar Shemuel. Let us bring the festival Korban, and of course gratitude to God. That was Shemuel said. Eliata ve'odeka, you are my God and I will thank you, Amar David. Elohai aromemeka, to God I will exalt you, Amru kulam. That was, they all said. Now, this last point, when it says Elohai aromemeka, the Maharsha explains that this was referring to Birkat HaZimun, which everybody praises God in the Zimun, and therefore they made a Sa'udah and they all praised God. Hamza Gabaran says, Tena Natam. We learned in a Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Masechet Sukkah. Bakom Shenahagu Lichfol. In a place where they have the custom to double the Hallel, Yichfol. Which means some communities had a custom to recite every Pasuk of the Hallel twice. That was the Minhag. So if that's the Minhag, you do it. Lifshot, Yifshot. If the custom is just to read it straight, meaning not to double it, so you read it straight. Levarech acharav, yibarech. Places that have the custom to say the beracha acharona on the Hallel, they say it. That's the Yahalelucha. Hakol kemenhag emedina. Everything follows the local custom. Aram amar baye, lo shanu el al acharav. This thing with the custom of the Hallel was only said regarding the beracha acharona. Aval lefana mitzvah lebarech. But regard to the berakah that's said before the Hallel, the contrary, it's a mitzvah to make a berakah before the Hallel. Actually, it's an obligation. The Gemara says, the Amar of Yehuda Mar Shemuel, so we have a statement, Kol ha-mitzvot bevarech aleihen over la'asiyatan. Which means, regarding all the mitzvot, we have to recite a blessing before we perform them. So therefore, Hallel is no different. Hallel is a mitzvah, and therefore we would have to recite a beracha before the Hallel. Now the Gemara just wants to prove, how do you know the word over means to proceed or before? Because it says, Kol ha-mitzvot bevarech aleihem over la'asiyatam, before you perform them. So the Gemara says, Mai mashma dehai over lishna la'agdumehu. How do you know that the word Oved is a language meaning to proceed? So the Gemara brings different proofs. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak, Tichtiv, Vayarotz Ahima'atz Derech HaKikar Vayavor Et HaKushi. This is referring to after Avshalom, the son of David, died. So they wanted to inform David. So Yoav ben Tzeruiah sent a Kushi to give David the news. But a fellow by the name of Ahima'atz, he ran before the Kushi in order to tell David the news. So the Pasuk says, Vayarutz Ahima'atz derech hakikar vayavor et ha-Kushi. He went before the Kushi. So you see the word over is to go before. Abaye amar me'ach, Abaye brings it from here, Vehu avar lifnehim. Which literally means, he passed before them. That was referring to Yaakov. He went before his wives when he went to greet Esav. Some say from here, when the Mashiach comes, the Pasuk says, their king is going to pass before them. That means the Melech Mashiach, and of course Hashem is going to be over them. Now the Gemara continues. Tanya, we have a Braita. Rabbi Kofel Ba Devarim. Rabbi, his custom regarding the Hallel was to repeat certain parts. Actually, the Mefashim explained that he would start repeating from Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem, B'Rachnuchem, B'Bet Hashem, to the end of the Hallel, he would double those Pesukim. Rabbi Elazar bin Perata Mosif Ba'Devarim. He would even add more things to be repeated, meaning he would start repeating the Hallel from Odecha Ki Anitani. Like the Gemara says, Mai Mosif, what did he add? Amar Abayim Mosif Lechpol Me Odecha Lemata, from Odecha and down. But you see, both these rabbis did not have the minhag to be chofel, to double the entire Hallel, as was the minhag in some places. Darash Rav Avira. Rav Avira gave the following derasha. Zimnin amar le meshemed Rav Ameh. Sometimes he would say it in the name of Rav Ameh. The Zimnin amar le meshemed Rav Aseh. And sometimes he said it in the name of Rav Aseh. My dechtiv. What does it mean when it says in the pasuk by Yitzhak, Vayigdal ha-yelid, the child grew, Vayigamal, and he was weaned. And the pasuk says that Abraham, Vayas Abraham meshte gadol, Beyom hegamel et Yitzhak. And Abraham made a big party on the day that Yitzhak was weaned. Now, the Gemara is assuming that the extra words over here. Why are these extra words? Because already it says Hayelid. So they want to say that that word Yelid is extra. Because we know we're talking about Yitzhak. And we know that he was a Yelid. The word Ve'yigamal also is extra, because the next pasuk says Be'yom Yigamel et Yitzhak. So therefore the Gemara is going to discuss that this is referring to not only a Se'udah that Avraham Abinu made for his son, but this is also referring to a Se'udah that's going to take place La'atid Lavo, in the future. And what is that? Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asot Se'udah La'tzadikim. God in the future is going to make a great feast for the tzaddikim. Beyom sheyigmol hasdo lezarcho shel Yitzchak, on the day that He's going to show His kindness upon the descendants of Yitzchak. So therefore, that's the pasuk saying that God is going to make vayigdal yelid. That's referring to the Jewish people, the descendants of the Jewish people, in the sense of Yitzhak, and God is going to make a party for them. After everybody's going to drink, eat and drink at this party, so they're going to give the cup of Birkat HaMazon for Avraham Avinu to make the Birkat HaMazon. As we learned many times, that the law is that when one makes Birkat HaMazon, they should use a kos. So they're going to give the Zimun to Avraham. Now we know that normally the Gadol, the greatest of the people sitting, makes the Zimun. So therefore they're going to invite Avraham Abinu. Avraham is going to say, "Eni mevarich sheyatzat mimeni Yishmael. I cannot make the Beracha, because after all, Yishmael came from me." And therefore he's going to say as if he's unfit. So the Maharsha explains why Avraham felt that Yishmael would render him not worthy to make the Berachah Zimun. Because we know that we learned in Masechet Berachot that in Birkat HaMazon you have to mention Berit VeTorah, you have to mention the Berit Milah, you have to mention the importance of the Torah, you have to mention Birkat HaAretz, and of course Malchut Beit David and Binyan Yerushalayim. Now, since the covenant of the Brit Milah was made with Yitzhak Abinu and not with Yishmael, so Avraham, who fathered Yishmael, felt he's not worthy to mention the Anyan of the Milah in the Birkat HaMazon. Omer lo Yitzhak. So they're going to go to Yitzhak Abinu and they're going to tell him, Tol Ubarich, take the cup and make the Birkat HaMazon. Omer lahen, Eni Mivarich, I cannot make Birkat HaMazon either. Shiyatza mimeni Esav, because Esav came from me. Esav was also excluded from the Brit Milah. So therefore he didn't feel worthy. Omer lo Yaakov, Tolu Barech. They're going to tell Yaakov, okay, you make the Birkat HaMazon. Omer lahen, Eni Mevarech, I cannot make the Beracha. Shenasati Shte Ahayot Behayehen, I married two sisters in their lifetimes. Sha'atida Torah Le'oslan Alai, which eventually the Torah would forbid. And therefore Yaakov Abinu felt, how could he say the Birkat HaMazon, which mentions Berit VeTorah, when he did something that eventually was going to be asur from the Torah? Omer lo LeMoshe, Tolu Barech. Then tell Moshe, take the cup and make Birkat HaMazon. Omer lahem, Eni Mevarech, I cannot make the Beracha. Shelo Zachiti Likanes LeEretz Yisrael, I did not have the privilege to enter Eretz Yisrael. So how can I say Birkat HaMazon has a whole Birkat HaAretz? Lo b'hayai ve'lo b'moti, I didn't enter it, not in my lifetime and not in my death. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried mul bet Pe'or. Even his bones did not merit to enter Eretz Yisrael, like the bones of Yosef that eventually were reinterred in Eretz Yisrael. So omer lo liYoshua. So then they're going to tell Yoshua ben Nun, Tol ubarech, take the cup and make the Birkat HaMazon. Omer lahen, Eni mevarech, Shelo zachiti leben. Yoshua did not merit to have a son. even though Yeshua was a great tzaddik, he conquered Israel, he did not leave a son who would build Yerushalayim in the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore he felt, how could he say the berachot that talk about the binyan of Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash? How do we know he didn't leave a son? Because the pasuk says in Devarim Yemim Dichtiv, Yeshua bin Nun. Nun beno, Yeshua beno. Which means it says, Nun was his son, and Yeshua was his son. Which is when they're giving the lineage of Shevet Ephraim, so the last one in the lineage is Nun, and then his son Yeshua, and then the lineage of Ephraim stops, implying that Yeshua was the last of his lineage because he did not have a son. So finally, Omer lo David, we're going to come to David HaMelech, and they're going to tell him, Tolu Barech, take the cup and make Birkat HaMazon. Omer Laen, so David HaMelech is going to say, Ani Avarech, I'm going to make the Birkat HaMazon, Velina El Avarech, and it's fitting for me to make the Birkat HaMazon. David HaMelech, after all, was responsible for building Yerushalayim. David HaMelech's son, Shlomo, built the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore he felt that there was no reason that he would not be able to say the Birkat HaMazon. After all, he also had the Brit Milah, and obviously he had a lot of Torah. Shne'emar, how do we know David HaMelech is going to make this Zimun? Kosh Yeshuot Esa Uvshem Hashem Ekra. David HaMelech says, one day I shall raise the cup of salvation and praise God. So that is the order of the way the Zimun is going to be made. Na'atid Lavo. On that day that God makes the party for the descendants of Yitzhak Avinu. And now we move on to the next Mishnah. En maftiri mahara pesach afikoman. And that is the Mishnah, which literally means we cannot conclude the Seder meal with, which is after we eat the Korban Pesach, with afikoman. You cannot end the meal with afikoman. Now we don't know what afikoman is, so the Gemara now is going to explain. My afikoman, what does this mean, afikoman? That you cannot conclude the Seder meal with afikoman. So we have different opinions. Amar Rav, shelo ya'akru mehabura lahabura. Which means, after you eat the Korban Pesach, you should not uproot yourself from one group to go and join another group. Now, what is this referring to? So the Rashbam explains. We learned earlier in the Masechet, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda held that although the group of Korban Pesach can be split up and eaten in different places, and you can split up the group, but one person cannot eat the Korban Pesach in two different places. Which means if he starts to eat in one place, he has to finish eating there. He cannot go and eat it somewhere else. So here, the Gemara is interpreting the Mishnah as follows. That after one concludes his Korban Pesach in place A, he is not allowed to go to place B and eat anything. Even if he wants to eat regular food or other things. Why? Because if we allow him to go to another place and eat, he might come to take some of the Korban Pesach with him to that other place and eat as well. And then he's going to transgress the Isur of eating the Korban Pesach in two places. So therefore, we do not allow the members of the Seder, after the Seder, to go to another place and eat anything. Now, how is that? That's a Gezerah, obviously. Now, how is that learned from the word Afikoman? So Rashbam explains, it's a combination of two words. Apichu menaichu, which means take out your vessels. Which means, which means they're not allowed to say after the Korban Pesach, let's take our vessels, our plates, our forks, our knives, and let's go bring it somewhere else to continue eating. No, you cannot do apikoman after. Now, according to this opinion, it would be clear that if a person wants to continue eating
where he is after the Korban Pesach, it would not be a problem. There, the Achirim did not make a gezerah. They only made a gezerah to continue eating somewhere else, even non-Korban Pesach things, lest the person brings the Korban Pesach to a different place and then transgresses that isud. So that is the opinion of Rav. Now we read the opinion of Shmuel. Ushmuel Amar. Shmuel says, no. Kegon urdi la'eli vegozlaya le'abba. This means that after the Korban Pesach, one should not eat dessert. For example, urdi la'eh, mushrooms, which means Shmuel liked mushrooms, or for abba, gozlaya, pigeons. That was the name of Rav. Rav, his real name was Abba, but out of respect, they just referred to him as Rav, like the Rav, the Rav. Just like the Biuda Nasi, they referred to him as Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So the Gemara is saying, Shmuel is saying that really apikoman means dessert. Meaning whatever a person likes to eat after the meal. Like he says, I like to eat these mushrooms, where Abba would like to eat pigeons. Now, what's the logic? Why would be Asur? So the Mefashim explain that they want to keep the flavor of the Korban Pesach in his mouth. I mean, they want the ta'am to remain. Let's read that in the Rashbam. It would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down after they get wide. Kegon ardi la'ayli, like for me to eat mushrooms. Ve'goz la'ya le'abba le'rav le'rav. De'Shmuel avar agil le'echot bekinuach se'uda kemehinu petriyot. Shmuel was accustomed in his dessert to eat, let's say, mushrooms, truffles and mushrooms. Ve'rav ragil le'echot l'achav se'udato gozalot. And Rav was accustomed after the meal to eat pigeons. Ve'lashon afikoman. So what does afikoman mean according to this? Hotzi'u ve'avi'u mineh metika. Bring out apiku mine. Go bring out some of the desserts. The atash Shmuel lememar. The hadush of Shmuel is de lo mebaya shelo yakol mahaburato lahabura acheret. For sure, not only can't you go to another group to continue eating something else, ela afilu bahaburato asur leechol klum achar haPesach. Even in your own group, you shouldn't eat anything after Korban Pesach. Shelo yovad memenu ta'am haPesach. So you don't lose the flavor of the Korban Pesach. Ulfi shedinor le'achir besof ala saba. Because the law is you have to eat the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal on a full stomach. Ve'chen kol ha'korbanot, kedekhtiv le'moshcha. It says the way you eat it is le'moshcha. That means le'gdula. You have to eat it in an important way. Kederek she'melachim ochlim. Like the kings eat. The kings don't eat on an empty stomach. So in any event, comes out, we have a fantastic machloket between Rav and Shmuel. Rav only forbids to go eat something else by another group. But to stay in your own group and eat other things after the Korban Pesach is not a problem. However, Shmuel says, no, even in the group itself, it is forbidden to eat dessert after the Korban Pesach. That should be the last thing you eat in order to keep the flavor in your mouth. And the Gemara continues and says, we have other rabbis that concur with Shmuel's opinion. V'Rav Hanina bar Shila v'Rav Yohanan amar kegon temarim kelayot ve'egozim. This means that one should not eat dessert, for example, dates, toasted grains or walnuts, which means Rabbi Yohanan and Rabbi Hanina agree to Shmuel. They're just giving a different preference to what the dessert was for them. Tanya kevated Rabbi Yohanan. We have a braita that was taught just like the opinion of Rabbi Yohanan. Em eftinim achar haPesach kegon temarim kelayot veguzin. That one should not conclude the meal of the seder by eating dessert like dates, toasted grain, or walnuts. So there we see the machloket between Rav and Shmuel, and we see that Yohanan also concurs with the opinion of Shmuel, and we have a braita to support that as well. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.